In and Out of the Kitchen by Damien Trench. May the 3rd to the 6th. We have both had things to celebrate in the Trench McIlvenny household of late. Anthony has finally decided, after months of bad luck on the job front, to launch his own business venture, an investment consultancy service which will be run, initially only, I hope, from home. I am celebrating the fact that the good people at Sky Arts have finally commissioned another documentary series that I shall, as they say, front. It will be produced, as Culinary Habits of the Opera Greats was, by my very dear friend Marion Duffett, and it will be all about poets and their palates. It's a vast topic, of course, and although our series cannot possibly hope to be exhaustive, I think that 6 episodes will help us to get a little under the skin of this fascinating subject. Our celebrations, we decided this morning, will take the form of a short-notice dinner party. This is, I must say, no small undertaking. We are, if not globally, then at least in the Queen's Park area, famed for our dinner parties. Several times I have been told by people who are not even in attendance that I had supposedly triumphed with my grilled calamari or whatever it might have been. I must confess that initially I felt truly flattered that there existed such word-of-mouth buzz, but increasingly I felt under intense pressure to perform such miracles at these events that I have been forced to cancel a couple of recent proposed symposiums due to extremely serious bouts of anticipation-induced anxiety. Anthony tends to be a little calmer about such things, but then I rather think that his own reputation is not on the line in quite the same way that mine is.
It need not be fancy.
Well, I don't think there's any point in inviting people round just to eat muesli, isn't there?
Obviously, I won't be serving muesli, Anthony. I'm not deranged.
Or porridge.
There will be no breakfast stuffs.
Oh, just checking. Excuse me.
All right.
Yes, Ryan, Oh, I think I drank my morning coffee a little too quickly.
Anyway, I don't want you to worry about the food, Anthony. I shall worry about the food.
Well, don't worry too much. I don't want to be stuck explaining to guests that you've been called away on urgent business again when they can all hear you crying in the downstairs lavatory.
I wasn't crying. I was regulating my breathing.
Crying.
Russian kulibiak is a notoriously difficult dish, Anthony. The salmon roe were nightmarish to deal with.
Yeah, you're getting worked up. Is this definitely a good idea?
It is perfectly manageable. We just need to keep it simple.
And for you to choose a recipe that sits comfortably somewhere between muesli and, and Russian kulibiak.
Well, I'm sure I'll be able to think of something.
Ooh, ha.
Right, well, I'll do the food. I'm very happy to do the ring round, unless you want
No, I think you would be excellent at the ring round. I'll manage things front of house.
OK.
The presentation, front garden, hallway, sitting room, if we're doing any pre-dinner drinks and or nibbles.
Please don't say nibbles or and or.
Right, fine. Crudités or amuse-bouche or pre-prandial mini-bites, regardless of what they're called. Will we be serving them?
We won't.
Right, well, that was 9 seconds of completely wasted conversation, wasn't it? I will make sure the back garden is shipshape. Oh, I shall dress the kitchen. We are eating in the kitchen, aren't we?
We are.
Well, that is informal. Great. Well, I shall dress the kitchen.
Right, what sort of thing do you have in mind?
Oh, I thought we might try and recreate the atmosphere at the Palace of Versailles on Bastille Day, Damien, get rid of the tables, lay down some turf, hand out trickle rosettes.
Yes, very good, Anthony, because that's what the word informal means, doesn't it? It invokes the storming of the Bastille. Yes, perhaps we should hold another relaxed gathering in 3 weeks' time in which we can casually proclaim the Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizens.
Finished. I just thought we could have a few candles.
Candles?
Yes, candles. Have I shocked you?
What is this obsession with candles?
Hardly an obsession. I've mentioned them twice.
No, no, not just you. I mean the country at large. Why do people love candles so much?
Because they're romantic. You can have light, but not too much light.
And what is the point, then, Anthony, of us having these?
They're dimmer switches.
Exactly. You can do this.
Yes, all right, stop. Can you stop doing that now? I know. You're going to give me a headache.
Well, thank
you. It's just... It's not the same. That's all. Candles give you a lovely low light.
These can give you a lovely low light.
Yes, I know. No, don't demonstrate. I'm aware of the light-dimming effect caused by increasing resistance in a circuit, but it's not as atmospheric.
Candles are not atmospheric. If anything, they intrude on the atmosphere.
They're nice, and they give off a lovely smell.
Yeah, exactly. They smell. It's noxious. The smell gets in the way of the food.
It doesn't.
It does. It permeates.
You're thinking you've scented candles.
No, all candles. I'm putting my foot down. It's the dimmer system or nothing.
What, darkness?
No, I mean it's the dimmer system.
What about chatter during the meal? Should we eat in silence, or does noise get in the way of the food as well?
May the 6th, Saturday. I think that we're both rather looking forward to this evening. In terms of sheer enjoyment, a dinner party, done well, is hard to beat. The key to such evenings is always a well-balanced guest list and dishes that promote conversation but don't intimidate. To that end, I've always felt that bringing unshelled mollusks or crustaceans to the table is simply asking for trouble. My hard and fast rule is that if there's even a risk of you having to provide moist towelettes, then it's a no-no. Recipe. I shall build some of the menu in my head whilst I'm out shopping, just taking a peek at what looks fresh and seeing what gets me excited. I'll also double-check dietary requirements when I'm doing the ring round. A great starter, though, is a baked camembert, which is uncomplicated but gets the taste buds bouncing, and it rarely sets off allergies. I know it's not suitable for people with lactose intolerance, but that isn't an allergy. It's a syndrome. You will need a whole camembert in its box, a clove of garlic, sliced, 3 to 4 sprigs of fresh thyme, and access to some olive oil. You should preheat the oven to gas mark 6. Remove the camembert from its box, unwrap it, and place it back in the box. Use a sharp knife to make several slits in the top of the cheese so that you can then insert the pieces of garlic and sprigs of thyme. Drizzle olive oil over it all, and then place on a baking tray before putting it in the oven to avoid drippage. Bake until the centre of the cheese wobbles pleasingly. Do make sure that your camembert box is a wooden one and that it is held together by staples. Those that have been glued together have a nasty tendency to come undone in the oven, and then you're in all sorts of trouble. Serve with a fruity sauce of your choice. Or don't.
Yes?
Ian, it's Damien.
Oh, can I put you on hold?
Oh, for heaven's sake. Rigolette.
Sorry about that. Just noticed something on my tie. Who'd you say it was?
It's Damien Trench.
Damo! Que pase, hombre?
I was wondering...
Why on? Are you interested in doing something for the Discovery Channel? You and Alan Lamb, 2 weeks course fishing on the River Tay?
I literally don't understand any of that.
Ah, pity. I have to have a think. I wonder if Hilary Mantel is up for anything fish-related.
Well, it's hard to say. Now, listen, are you and Louise free this evening? Anthony and I are having a small and impromptu dinner party to celebrate a few recent successes.
I'll be there. Time?
About 7:30.
Great.
Is Louise free?
Bound to be. Look forward to it. Ciao.
Ian, does Louise have any allergies?
Me? No. She's a vegetarian, though.
Oh, really? Oh, that shouldn't be too problematic. As it happens, my favourite camembert is rennet-free.
Is it? Gosh, that's interesting. She eats fish, though. Lots of it. But we'll be there. Arrivederci.
There's no strict dress code, by the way.
Didn't think there would be.
Right.
Mr. Trench?
Mr. Mullaney, how are you?
Oh, well, thanks. I'll start again tomorrow once the latex screeding has dried.
Right. Yes, fine. Now, would you like to come for dinner this evening?
What, at the house?
That's right.
Your house?
Yes.
What, like a dinner party?
Exactly.
Is someone ill?
Are you frightened of catching something?
No, I meant...
We're celebrating.
Oh, right. Yeah, I suppose I could. Will there be any other builders there?
No, I'm afraid you'll be the sole representative of the construction trade. Will that be a problem?
It was a joke, Mr. Trench.
Oh. Right. It'll be at about 7:30.
Grand. Would you like me to bring a dessert?
A dessert? Well, that's a very kind offer, Mr. Mullaney, but I am actually going to be doing the cooking.
Yeah, it was a joke again.
Oh. Right.
Is there a dress code?
Oh, just something you feel comfortable in, within reason.
Yeah, because I have another job I'd like to squeeze in before coming over to yours, so I'd just be in my painting clothes.
Very good.
No, that wasn't a...
Oh, I see. Yes, in that case, please go home and change.
Fair enough.
Any allergies?
Just dust.
Dust?
Another joke.
Joke!
To my delight, all of our intended guests stated their availability and indeed willingness to dine with us. Thankfully, Ian's wife Louise was the only guest who had any strict dietary requirements, but not being French, I am perfectly capable of cooking a meat-free meal that isn't simply egg-based. Marion is one of those oh-so-enviable people who can eat whatever they like, whenever they like. Mr. Mullaney is, of course, rather robust. And then there's my parents. My father is an enthusiastic eater, and my mother, really a rather guarded one. She has a fear of fat so intense that I worry that, ironically, it could one day induce a heart attack. Anyhow, if you balance out their appetites, then they do, at least in the sense of home economics, represent two normal people. I had, following my various conversations, an excellent idea of what I should be cooking for my guests, and so headed out.
So, what'll it be?
Well, I saw these trout in Westcrum Co. That'll be our centrepiece. Veg-wise, I've just gone for what's in season, obviously.
Yeah, it's obviously.
Goodness, is that not clear?
Yeah, not really.
How many hours is that now?
Not many.
Should have thought to pick you up something while I was out.
No, it's fine. It's fine, really.
Well, they should have.
Yeah.
Ooh. They should have gone by now.
It'll pass. It always does.
Hope you haven't sustained any esophageal damage somehow.
What a cheery thought. No, no, I hope not. Now, I've tidied the front garden, you'll have noticed.
Yes, I saw that, thank you.
And I've mopped the hall.
Lovely.
And I've made a start on the garden.
I suppose some people might go out there.
Well, it's for smokers, really. Ian smokes, doesn't he?
He might do. His wife certainly does. Those coloured ones.
Oh, Christ.
Marion does, socially, of course.
Oh, Mulaney does socially as well.
Who?
Perhaps Marion and Mr. Mulaney would make a...
Would make what?
Well, you know, they might make a good couple, mightn't they?
I have tried asking him about his domestic arrangements, but my questions have always been ducked as if he's some embattled minister on the Today programme.
Yeah, riddles. But he's the sort of horny-handed son of the soil that Marion might go for.
Well, quite sure it's not our place to speculate. And the mood tonight is not going to be an especially romantic one.
Oh, don't know.
With my parents being there.
Oh, of course, the candle moratorium. Yes, you're probably right.
But is there anything else that you could be doing right now rather than lobbying on behalf of the candle industry?
No. Don't think so.
You've no work to do?
Afternoon off.
Right, of course. The garden?
I've already set aside some earthenware for cigarette ends. I just need to place two bags of compost in the shed and sweep the patio.
Very good. Well, why not do that now?
It'll take all of 5 minutes. I'll do it when I light the lanterns.
Napkins?
Already ironed, plus a choice of tablecloths.
Right. Is there enough loo paper in the downstairs room?
Do you want me out of the way or something?
Well, since you ask...
Oh, charming.
I just want to get on with the cooking.
Fine.
Right, that's what you need to do. You need to go to the chemist and get something for your hiccups.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. OK, yeah, we'll do that then. Oh, crikey.
Super. See you in an hour.
An hour? It's about 7 minutes' walk.
An hour.
Recipe. It is strange, but nevertheless true, that two of the things I desire the most are to share food with others, but also to be alone in the kitchen. Some may feel that two such passions would cancel each other out, but I believe they complement each other. Cooking alone in advance of a dinner party is like an actor meditating prior to performing Lear to a full house. One could never possibly succeed at the latter without first undergoing the former, one imagines. Anyway, trout en papillote with fennel and white wine. You will need a whole trout that either you or your fishmonger has gutted and cleaned, a fennel bulb, thinly sliced, a tablespoon of pitted green olives, perhaps 11, some sprigs of tarragon, a glug of white wine, two glugs of extra virgin olive oil, the juice and zest of one lemon, and a good bit of butter. You should preheat the oven to gas mark 6. Take a piece of baking parchment, a piece big enough to completely fold over the fish, and in the middle of it, make a bed of the olives, lemon zest, and half of the fennel. Place the fish atop this mix, and then stuff it with the tarragon, lemon, and what you have left of the fennel. Plonk little curls of butter all over it, and then pour on the wine and olive oil. Fold the parchment over and scrunch up its edges so that you have a sealed package which still leaves room for the steam to circulate. This parcel should be baked for something in the region of half an hour. Delightful, delicious, and a dottle. Anthony was very generous, actually. He gave me not an hour to myself, but an hour and a quarter, allowing me time to have a bath rather than a shower prior to the arrival of our guests. As to whether he had used the time wisely, I was less than sure. He'd made it to the pharmacist, but claimed that none of the many cures for digestive difficulties they stocked had really taken his fancy. Instead, he'd been to the bookshop for a coffee, the very thing that had started his hiccuping in the first place, and had then taken a walk around the reclamation yard where he had purchased a mud scraper. Extraordinary behaviour.
Oh, did you carry that?
No, I got a taxi.
Taxi? What's it set into?
Limestone. Isn't it splendid? They said it was 19th century.
Really? I bet they did.
I don't really mind if it isn't. It's the look of the thing I like.
How much was it?
Don't ask. Now, what's the... Oh, God, I should change.
Well, not before you move the mud scraper. It can be part of the all of 5 minutes' work that the garden will take.
Well, it couldn't just stay in the hall. I mean, it's a good-looking thing. You're allowed to put things anywhere once they're antique. There are people who decorate their walls with bed warmers.
Anthony, I didn't even want a second mud scraper. But given the choice, I would rather it was kept outside the house than in. If you leave that in the house, then I shall put something else that belongs in the house out in the garden. Something like your laptop.
All right. No need to be spiteful. I hope you relax a little before the guests arrive.
I am almost completely relaxed. Dinner is ready. The guests will be with us any moment. I will become perfectly relaxed. Once you've made good the back garden, remove the mud scraper from the hall, change your clothes and stopped hiccuping.
Fine. Dinner smells very nice, by the way.
There's no need to be sarcastic.
I'm not being sarcastic.
In which case, I apologise.
Thank you. Ooh.
I had forgotten, of course, Antony's intermittent bad back, but having watched him slowly manoeuvre the thing across the hall like Gulliver dragging some sort of Lilliputian tower bridge, I could bear it no longer. My patience snapped, and I ended up moving the wretched thing myself. I only just got it out of the back door, whilst the big friendly hiccupper swept the patio and lit the lanterns. He then headed off to change, and I had time to check everything over one last time. It was perfect.
Right, Antony!
Coming!
Oh, careful, Anthony. Now I daren't open the door until you've reached the bottom of the stairs and come to a definite stop. I still don't have complete confidence in your balance. Our first guest could be crushed by a solo stampeder.
There we are.
So graceful. Right.
Damo! Anthony!
Hello, Ian. Thank you so much for coming.
I'm delighted to see you.
And you, and you. Gosh! Well, here we are.
Is Louise with you?
Yeah, Louise. No. I've been trying to get hold of her, but phone's off.
Oh, well, do come in anyway. I'm sure she can't be far away.
Mr. Mullaney.
Yeah, gentlemen. Evening. Hope this is smart enough.
Oh, Mr. Mullaney, you look absolutely sensational. That corduroy and denim combo would adorn any builder.
Ah, thanks. I've brought this.
Oh, lovely. What is it? Some sort of,
Oh, there you are. I've been bringing it for hours.
That's my literary agent, Ian Frobisher. I'll introduce you just as soon as he's...
Yes, I know it's short notice, but I thought we were both free.
So you were saying, Mr. Mullaney, or...
Oh, it's a sort of fancy apple juice, I suppose.
Mm. Oh, this. Yes. Yeah. Oh, and it's fizzy. Super.
Mm. Yeah, I don't drink, you see.
You don't drink?
No. Not these days.
Right, well...
You're sure? I've chosen some wonderful wine.
No, I'm sure they're terrific, but I...
Oh, they really are.
You're
where? Damien, please, don't pressurise him.
I go to pubs and stuff I just don't drink.
Oh, well, that's a relief. It's not all some terrible secret.
Fine. Bye. Yes, bye. Honestly.
Ian, hold on. This is Mr. Mullaney.
She can't come, she said.
Oh, well, that's a pity. Anyway, this is our builder.
She's gone to a spinning class?
Hi there.
I mean, what the hell does that mean?
I'm sure we get the chance to talk later.
What the hell is a spinning class? It's just gobbledygook, isn't it? It's just nonsense. I mean, who needs to be told how to spin?
Well, exactly. Now then.
Well, it's an exercise thing. They do it on bikes.
I don't care if they do it on horseback. I mean, why
do
they...
Well, you couldn't really do it on horseback because... That's
why do they do it in the evening?
Well, perhaps that's when the classes are.
Mm, yes, right. Now, so, Ian, this is Mr. Mullaney, our builder.
Oh, can I use your loo?
Yes, certainly. Please, it's just...
I'll find it.
No, sorry, it's just that there are two...
Oh, what, this one?
No, the one I'm pointing... This one.
Oh! This is cosy.
Well, it does the job.
See you all shortly.
Ooh. Oh, dear, he seems a little...
No, I'm sure he's fine.
Absolutely, yes. Right. Now, is everybody arriving at once?
That's what happens when you ask everyone to arrive at the same time, Damon. I'll get it.
Anthony.
Mrs. Trench, hello. Welcome, bienvenue.
How nice of you to invite us.
Oh, it's a bottle of something. Lovely.
Hello, Mum.
Hello, darling.
Hello, Dad.
Oh, evening.
Now, have you both met Mr. Mullaney before?
Hello there.
Oh, yes. Now, you're the builder, aren't you?
That's right.
Damien and Anthony must keep you very busy.
Well, there's certainly been a lot to do.
why don't you all come away from the door and then I can close it? Sure, Marion can't be too far away.
Now, why don't you all come through the kitchen for a drink?
Well, it's very nice to finally meet you, Mr. Mullaney.
Please, Sam.
We met another Irishman recently, didn't we, dear?
Well, we meet them all the time, don't we? They're not unusual.
Still, things have changed, haven't they?
Have they?
I mean, it's not the 1980s anymore.
No.
Ooh, the door. Right, well, why don't I go and open that and you can all start a new conversation. Yeah. Can I just...
Who on earth is that?
It's Marion. She works in television. Oh, it sounds like Ian's about to emerge.
Classic!
I must say that Anthony had made the kitchen look absolutely terrific, but, and I did not realise this until we brought the guest through, he had obtained, from who knows where, three completely unscented candles, and so the lighting was exactly to his liking. We all sat down to the starter, and I have to say it went down extremely well. Ian, though, really did seem to be a little distracted by his difficulties with Louise, and it was at times unclear if he was in a celebratory mood or a maudlin one. Either way, he was effusive. And as I cleared the starter plates away, he proceeded to talk about Alan Yentob, essentially a critical appraisal of his life, work and tax arrangements, using such vulgar language that my mother felt it was necessary to get up and go and walk around the garden. She was, I think, expecting my father to accompany her, and described his decision to remain at the table chattering on at us as rather unchivalrous. In my father's defence, I don't think he's ever been completely certain who Alan Yentob is. I waited for my mother to return from the garden before plating up the fish. But no sooner had she finally returned than Marion announced that she was going out to the garden for a cigarette. I was just opening the oven when I heard a sickening thud.
Oh!
okay. Nobody panic.
What on earth?
I can't turn around. It's the hole of the fish. Can someone please explain what's just happened?
And don't worry, Mr. Trench. It's only Marion. Looks like she's tripped over something. Hit her head.
What?
It was the mud scraper. Oh, Daniel, why did you put it there?
Don't blame me. I'm trained to serve the fish.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Oh, must have just tripped over that... What on earth is that?
It's an antique mud scraper I bought it this afternoon, and then Damien left it here.
Let's not start apportioning blame. There's a main course for you all to enjoy.
Now, are you sure you're all right? It sounded like quite a bump.
Oh, I'm fine. I just, yes. Oh, fish! Oh, lovely.
There, have a seat.
Trout, Damien?
Hmm?
I hope some property deboned.
Oh, we're drinking something different with this
one. No, I thought we could just keep on drinking the same.
Oh, super. Anyone else? Marion?
Oh, please.
Oh, I'm not sure that's a...
Thank you.
Mr. and Mrs. Trench. Well, I'll certainly have one.
Sorry, oh, no, Sam, I think you've had enough. Mm.
I haven't even had a soup.
Could I have a glass of your super apple juice, please, Mr. Mullaney?
Certainly, by all means.
Thank you.
There we are.
Oh, how nice. Is it Irish?
No, it's not Irish, no.
Oh.
It's incredibly bright in here, isn't it?
Bright? No, it's not at all.
It's low light.
Don't worry, my dear, I shall save you.
No, it is rather dark.
Yes, that's because Ian's just blown out the candles.
Oh.
Well, don't worry, my dear, I'll just try to light them again.
Yeah, why don't you... Let me do that.
That's very wise, I'm sure.
Oh, that is pretty.
Between us, Anthony and I made sure that everyone had enough vegetables and that wine was kept regularly topped up, although not by too much in Ian's case. Conversation began to flow, and my mother and Mr. Mullaney bonded over their shared appreciation of orthotic footwear and the work of Diane Keaton. My father and Ian discussed yachting, and Anthony and I began to relax. Marion seemed a little off colour, hardly surprising given the trip that she had unfortunately suffered, and she changed the tone of the evening somewhat by launching into a passionate defence of assisted suicide. Her argument was heartfelt, although increasingly she was showing signs of concussion, struggling to grasp certain phrases, forgetting the names of those present, rolling her eyes and confusing euthanasia with erasure and so forth. And this was exacerbated by an argument that suddenly broke out between Mr. Mullaney and my mother about the unions holding everyone to ransom, whilst Anthony continued to hiccup and I began to look forward to pudding. There's not much in the world that can't be sorted with a good rum barba, with the obvious exceptions of Porphyria and Ash Dieback. It's perfect to serve at a dinner party as well. If you're organised, most of the preparation can be done one day in advance. It just needs finishing off on the day of serving. For this recipe, you'll need 5.5 ounces of strong flour, plain, 2 ounces of raisins, 1.5 teaspoons of yeast, dried, fast action, 5.5 ounces of sugar, castor, a pinch of salt, 2 eggs, beaten, lightly, 300 millilitres of cream, whipping, 4 tablespoons of milk, warmed, 2 ounces of butter, melted, 2 tablespoons of sugar, icing, 4 tablespoons of chocolate, grated, and 3 tablespoons of rum. Preheat the oven to gas 6. Put the flour in a bowl and stir in the raisins, yeast, sugar, and the salt. Beat the egg and milk and add them to the mixture. Stir in the melted butter. Beat well for 5 minutes and then pour the mixture into your barbar tins, well greased so that they're half full. Cover them with something oiled and pop them somewhere warm but not too warm for at least 30 minutes. Then bake until light golden and firm to the touch. Allow them to cool a little before turning them out. To make the syrup, pour 120 ml of water into a saucepan with the remaining sugar and gently heat it until the sugar is dissolved. Then ramp up the heat, bringing it to a boil, and leave it there for 2 minutes. Take it off the heat and allow it to cool before stirring in the rum. With the skewer, make little holes in the surface of the barbars, then dip them into the syrup. Ah, rum barbar. As enjoyable to eat as it is to say. I was just getting the rum barbar out when Ian came back from answering a call in the hall.
Well, that's thrown a spanner in a pigeon. I'm going to go.
So soon.
Is everything all right?
I'm just taking a call from a friend of Louise's. Woman's been hospitalised.
What's the problem?
Some disaster. Spinning glass, apparently. She's got her clothes stuck in something. A wheel? Could that be right? Damien, I need your car keys.
Ian, I don't drive.
What?
And you're in no fit state, too.
Yeah, perhaps you should get a taxi.
Perhaps you should mind your own business.
There's no need for that.
I was looking for some help.
I'll help you leave if you like.
Oh, could everyone please calm down? Calm down a little.
Who is that man?
Mary, what are you talking about?
Who's the spinning man?
I think she's concussed.
Who else has got cocky?
No, Ian, no.
It's only for driving. I'm not suggesting we all throw them in a bowl and see what happens.
What is he talking about?
I know. And who are all these? these people?
Ian, dear, was making a reference to sex parties.
Mm. To sex parties? Sex
it's not that shocking.
Mum, are you all right?
She's choking.
She's choking.
It must be a bone.
Oh, dear. Oh, no, bread ball. Somebody get me a bread ball. Do we have any? Do we have bread balls?
Come on, dear, don't panic. Everything's going to be just fine. Just let me get my arms around here, and I'll just...
No, what's the matter?
Oh, it's my back.
Mine does that sometimes. Yeah, it's always horrible.
You just move. I can't move. Well, then just let me...
Oh, goodness. Thank you very much,
Mrs. Seriously. How are you feeling, Mrs. Trench?
Oh, I think I ought to get you a fresh plate, perhaps.
I think we've got a rib.
Who has?
Mr. Mullaney.
What?
One of mine.
Oh, yeah, it's possible, but worth it.
Darling, I want you to take me to Annie.
But I can't move.
Oh, will I drive you if somebody would only lend me a bloody car?
What are all those black dots?
Oh, no.
Right, I'm taking you all to hospital.
Look, before you all rush off, can I remind you all that there is still pudding to come?
Mr. Mullaney, ever the voice of sanity, offered everyone that needed to go to hospital a lift in the back of his van, which was everyone apart from Anthony and myself. Ian's wife sounded in a bad way, Marion was as concussed as I'd ever seen her, Mum had a suspected broken rib, and Dad had got himself jammed at a funny angle. A van was the only vehicle that would have had the flatbed capacity necessary to accommodate my father in his current configuration. Anthony and I, of course, travelled with them to make sure that everyone was okay. And as soon as we'd got them all settled in the A&E waiting room with hot drinks, we nipped home to enjoy our rum bar bar in well-deserved peace and quiet.
Hmm. Well, Damien, another memorable evening. This is very good, you know.
Thank you.
Shame about the,
Well, we could put the rest in the fridge in case any of them happen to pop by.
But your parents seemed well, didn't they, until
their respective injuries. They seemed on very good form.
Yeah, they did.
Marion, that was... That was quite a state.
Probably just needs a rest.
Yeah, I'm sure that's all that's required. I will move the mud scraper, though.
Very wise.
Oh, no.
What?
My parents would have done the washing up.
We could leave it till morning, couldn't we?
I suppose.
Great.
Ah, silence. Oh...
In and Out of the Kitchen starred Miles Jupp and Justin Edwards, with Selena Cadell, Brendan Dempsey, Philip Fox and Leslie Vicarage. It was written by Miles Jupp. The producer was Sam Michel.